Philippians chapter number 2, we'll look at these verses in just a few moments that we read. We continue our journey through this book from the Apostle Paul, Philippians chapter number 2. Heavenly Father, thank you for this service thus far. We have been greatly helped and encouraged by everything. We've been able to sing songs of praise to you. We've participated in the service. We've heard about a work of God being done in this part of Russia. We've heard about the Bible Institute, and we've met some new visitors. Lord, thank you for all of this. But now, Lord, as we have this time of opening your word, I pray that our hearts would be open to what you have for us. I pray, Lord, if there's anyone in this room this afternoon that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that today would be the day of their salvation. If there is someone here that's saved but never been baptized, Lord, I pray that they would recognize that that is very important and that they would be willing to make that next step, even on the next Lord's Day, as we prepare to have a baptism. Father, thank you for what you've done already today. But now, Lord, I pray that you would empty me of my plan and fill me with your Spirit. May we all be Spirit-filled, even those that are listening. And we give you the praise and glory for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to speak to you on this theme this afternoon with God's help, the theme of highly exalted. Highly exalted. Before we look at our text this afternoon, I'd like to give you several verses of Scripture that remind us of a biblical principle. And that biblical principle is this: exaltation follows willful humiliation. Let me say that again. Exaltation follows willful humiliation, being humble. We read in 1 Peter 5 and verse number 6, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Humble yourselves. That's a decision that we must make. We read also in James 4 and verse 10, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." Finally, we hear from the book of Matthew, chapter 23 and verse number 12, where the Bible says, "And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased." That means you'll be made low. "And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." Again, exaltation follows willful humiliation. Willfully being humble. You cannot be a Christian. You cannot be saved. You cannot know Christ as Savior apart from an act of humility on our part. We have to humble ourselves to the point of this, that we cannot get ourselves into heaven. Only Jesus can. We have to set aside our, what, again, I like what you mentioned a moment ago, that a family member has told her all of these things. Isn't that something? I said this in Sunday school, we are a product of what we've been taught. We are a product of what we have been taught. Many times that can be not so good. Because if we have been taught things that do not line up with the Word of God, then many times our lives will not line up with the Word of God. But thanks be to God, we have a patient God who is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'm thankful today that we have a God who loves His creation. We have a God who is willing to save to the uttermost them that would believe. There takes an admittance of being wrong to be saved. That takes humility. Nobody wants to admit they're wrong. As we go back to our text, we see in verse number 9, we see the very first word of verse number 9. Do you see it there? It is the word wherefore. The word wherefore. It means for which reason. For which reason. It is a connective word that helps us to see the reason why Jesus is exalted. Again, our theme, highly exalted. It joins what was previously said in the text to these three verses. What you read before verse 9 connects to the next three verses with that word, wherefore. What did we read a few moments ago? We read of how God responded to Christ's incarnation and Christ's humility. Christ, Jesus, the Son of God, amen, God's Son, humbled Himself willingly. And then God highly exalted Him. These two themes are what make up the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Suffering and the glory to follow. Now, if you're me, you want to go glory first and maybe skip the suffering altogether. But in the life of Christ, we find that to be the case. In fact, it says in 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 11, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 11 says, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Keep turning if you're turning. That last phrase, powerful. The sufferings of Christ and the glory that would follow. Jesus Christ is highly exalted. In verse number 9, we see our first main point, and that is this. We see an announcement. We see, number one, an announcement. The humble, incarnate Savior has been exalted as the Almighty and Sovereign Lord. Because of that, believers have the assurance that their redemption is certain. I have no doubt this afternoon that when I die, I'm going to heaven. I have no doubt about it. None. That confidence is not in my baptism. That confidence is not in my good works. That confidence is not in the fact that I'm a pastor or that I have a Bible college degree or that whatever it may be. My confidence is in none of these things, but my confidence this afternoon is in the fact that my Savior paid it all to Him I owe. And that's where your confidence needs to be. If it's anywhere else, then you're not on your way to heaven. If your confidence is in a baptismal tank, you're going to be sorely disappointed when you die. If your confidence is in anything but the incarnate, sovereign, almighty Lord, because of that, believers have the assurance that their redemption is certain and that their place in heaven is secured forever. Forever. That's a long time. William Hendrickson writes the following. As King, having by His death, resurrection, and ascension achieved and displayed His triumphant over His enemies, He now holds in His hands the reins of the universe and rules all things in the interest of the church. By the way, don't worry about what we read. Don't worry. Don't let the news, the current events of today, worry you. God hath not given you the spirit of fear. God does not give us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Our God is in control of everything. Everything that is happening, everything that happens in this world, God hasn't fallen asleep. God hasn't had an uh-oh. God hasn't missed any kind of a beat, if you will. I am so confident in my God that He's doing everything right, and He will always do everything right. He is a sovereign God. But he goes on to say, as prophet, he, through his Spirit, leads his own in all truth. If you were not able to be here on Wednesday evening, please take a half an hour or so this week and go to the Church Vimeo account and listen to the truth that Brother Kevin preached on Wednesday night about truth. And Pilate saying, what is truth? We have as believers, and I'd be glad about this, we have believers been given part of the Godhead. You're saved today. You have part of the Godhead indwelling you. That part is the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit of God is leading us to do what? He's leading us into all truth. The truth that we find in the very Word of God that you're holding in your lap today. He says, as priest, he is on the basis of his accomplished atonement, not only intercedes, but actually lives forever to make intercession for those who draw near to God through him. Oh, thanks be to God for this one, this announcement that is being made here in verse number 9, that God hath highly exalted him. And oh, I wonder today in our life, does our life exalt the Savior? Do our decisions and choices exalt the Savior? They ought to. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. Would you turn over there quickly? 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12. I'm thankful today to be in the hand of Almighty God. I'm thankful to be in the hand of my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And no man can pluck me out of the Father's hand. I'm glad Jesus is God's Son, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, willingly went to the cross as we saw that so laid out for us, and he lives interceding on our behalf. Today I read in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, maybe you've read it many times over, but let the word of God meet the need that you might have this afternoon. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed. If you're a Christian today, I hope you can say with the Apostle Paul, I am not ashamed. I'm not ashamed to be called a Christian. I'm not ashamed to hold the Bible and live by the word of God. I'm not ashamed to be identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. Do you know who you have believed? And am persuaded. I'm persuaded. Are you persuaded? That he is able, God is able, to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. What a God that we so humbly and graciously are privileged to serve. There's an announcement being made here in verse number 9. Letter A, the announcement is in the resurrection. It's in the resurrection. Turn with me quickly to Mark's Gospel chapter number 16. The announcement is in the resurrection. Mark's Gospel chapter number 16. In verse number 6. You've got a Bible, look these up. Mark 16, verse number 6. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. And he's still risen, by the way. He is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him. The announcement was made in his resurrection. C.H. Spurgeon said this, we gather together on the first rather than on the seventh day of the week because redemption is even a greater work than creation and more worthy of commemoration, and because the rest which followed creation is far outdone by the rest which ensues upon the completion of redemption. Like the apostles, we meet on the first day of the week and hope that Jesus may stand in our midst and say, peace be unto you. Our Lord has lifted the Sabbath from the old and rusty hinges whereon the law had placed it long before and set it on the new golden hinges which His love has fashioned. He has placed our rest day not at the end of the week of toil, but at the beginning of the rest which remains for the people of God. Every first day of the week, we should meditate on the rising of the Lord and seek to enter into the fellowship with Him in His risen life. The announcement, every Sunday, the announcement. Every Sunday, we are worshiping a risen Lord. We are worshiping a Savior who is alive. We are worshiping a Savior who is victorious over everything that He ever confronted. We are worshiping a Savior who took us and snatched us from the jaws of death and hell and has given us life, not only life eternally, but life more abundant and free. Every Sunday, we celebrate that resurrection. But nextly, the announcement was not only made at the resurrection, but there was an announcement made at His ascension, letter B. At His ascension. Turn with me quickly to Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1. And verse number 9. Of course, Acts 1:8, very familiar to us. Verse 9, and when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, can you imagine being there? Wow. While they beheld, they're watching. While they beheld, He was taken up. Literally. They viewed it. They saw it. Taken up. And a cloud received them out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly, of course they're going to be looking steadfastly. What's just happened? Behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. And they made an announcement. Ye men of Galilee, verse 11, why stand ye gazing? Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come. Mark those words in your Bible. Underline those words in your Bible. Shall so come. Hey, as a Christian, we're looking forward to that right now. We're anticipating that right now. We should be longing for that, looking for that, loving for that to come. He shall so come. Notice what it says there. In like manner, as ye have seen Him go into heaven. Hey, guys, stop gazing and think for just a minute. This isn't the last time you're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming again. Marvelous message we bring. Glorious carol we sing. Wonderful word of the King. Jesus is coming again. And as a Christian today, live in victory with this fact in mind that Jesus could come at any moment. Will He come and find me faithful? Will He come and find us faithful? Oh, that should be our prayer as believers. Oh, He won't come and find me perfect. No one's perfect. But oh, I hope He would come and find me faithful. I hope He would come and find me wanting to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see an announcement at His resurrection. We see an announcement at His ascension. You could also write down 1 Timothy 3 and verse 16. We won't turn there today, but we can see a little bit more about the ascension there. But then lastly, we see an announcement in the heavens. In the heavens. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3, verse number 22. We'll turn to another passage quickly after this. 1 Peter 3 and 22. We'll read just the end of verse 21. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we get a little context. Who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God. Angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto Him. Let's go to the book of Revelation, chapter 5. Revelation, chapter 5. This announcement at His resurrection, at His ascension, and in the heavens. Revelation 5 and verse number 11. And I beheld as John is viewing this, and I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne. Oh, this, that had to be something. And the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. And thousands of thousands. Can you imagine this choir, this group of people, this group of angels? We're about to hear what they're saying. And you've already read ahead, so you already know. Saying with a loud voice. I like that word, loud. Saying with a loud voice. Why? Because they're talking about the Lord. And they say, "Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb." Can you imagine that? What John must have felt like when he heard that. "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." I'm saying, folks, today that our Savior is highly exalted. I should never attempt to bring Him down to my level. He's God. We should never try to make church more palatable and easy to receive. No. In other words, we don't dumb down the message. We don't dumb down the music and make it sound more like a worldly sound. No. It should be a sound that is exalting the Lord. It should be a sound that is praising the Lord. And it may not even need a sound. You can do it without a piano. You can praise the Lord just in your voice and in your song. We don't need to take the highly exalted one, as John writes, who was slain. He was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength. All of this, He is a highly exalted one. When the Bible says that Christ is God, it does not ask us to forget a single thing that it has said about the stupendous majesty of God. No, it asks us to remember every one of those things in order that we may apply them to all to Jesus Christ. Everything that the Bible says about our God could also be said about our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, for they are one. So we see an announcement. Secondly, in verse 10, we see a revelation. We see a revelation in verse 10 as we go back to our text. Here's the revelation. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. This is a future event. Where does this host gather? Turn quickly to Revelation and chapter 20. Revelation and chapter 20. Please, verse number 11. "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them." Right now, listen carefully. Right now, there are people experiencing this punishment. Right now. I'm not saying that gleefully. I'm saying that there are people who have rejected God's grace. That's the only sin that cannot be forgiven. to reject the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God, the blasphemy of the Spirit, it cannot be forgiven. Because that is to reject the gospel. That is to reject the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And we know here this afternoon, that's the only way to heaven. And right as we are here on this Lord's Day, and again, sometimes we really need to be asking the Lord, God, give us, again, a view or help us to understand the reality of hell. The lake of fire. Don't think of the lakes in BC. While they're filled with that beautiful water, this lake is filled with fire of judgment that never stops. I can remember only a few times experiencing some pain, but I had in the back of my mind, this is going to end. And that's the only thing that would take me through the pain was that the pain eventually will end. But in hell, the judgment of God never ends. This is the only moment that I can see in the Bible where anybody gets pulled out of it for a moment. Anybody that's there now is going to be at this judgment. It says it right here. That death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. God, no, God, I want to get saved now. Too late. For verse 14 tells us that death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. We see this great white throne judgment. I've read many times over and heard many people say that it is far greater for us to submit to the Word of God and submit to the gospel of God and the plan of God. It is better to submit to that and bow our knee in humility now, or you will bow here. If you're here today listening I have an outline here, but I can't get past this thought that if you're here today, that there's a possibility that there's a man here today. There's a possibility that there's a lady here today. There's a possibility there's a teenager here today. There's a 10-year-old here today. There's someone here today that this would be your end. You've never trusted Christ as Savior. You're waiting, but you know that you're a sinner. You know the gospel plan, and you're waiting, and you keep putting it off. Maybe you prayed a prayer just to get somebody off your back, but you know that you're not genuinely born again of the Spirit of God. I'm just here to be a voice like a John the Baptist and say, this is not where you want to end up. God doesn't want you here. He says that in His Word. God wants you to be saved, all to be saved. He's not willing that any of us would be in this spot. Don't leave here today like you always leave here and just say, not today. No, today needs to be the day. Today needs to be the day that you come, and when you are humbled, when you choose to be humble, like I said in the opening statement, God will exalt you. How does He exalt us? He gives us a home in heaven. He lets us sit together with Him in the heavenlies. He gives us a robe of righteousness. He gives us the righteousness of His Son. And that when we die, we are guaranteed to be absent from the body, is to be present with the Lord. Our God is highly exalted, but He also says, you can be my son. You can be my child. This thing is no game. This thing is no game. You can lose in a board game and next time win, but if you lose in this game of life, it's over for all eternity. Our God is saying today that my son, He's highly exalted. He's highly exalted. Oh, is he highly exalted in our life? We see the revelation. Letter A, we see showing submission. Showing submission. As we go back quickly to verse number 10, it says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Every knee should bow. It shows submission. I'm going to turn to a passage of Scripture. I'd like you to jot the reference down, please. Allow me to read it, but I say turn to all of them if you can, but I'm not going to tell you not to, but I'm going to start reading it, and you don't know the passage yet. So, Isaiah 45, verse 23, listen to these two verses with verse 10 in mind. With verse 10 in mind, verse 23 and 24 of Isaiah 45, verse 23. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say in the Lord, have I righteousness and strength? Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 10 is referring to this Old Testament prophecy in the book of Isaiah. All that are incensed against him, against who? The Lord. Shall be ashamed. Showing submission. It shows submission. Letter B. We see the subjects of submission. We see the subjects of submission. First off, we see all of God's saints. All of God's saints. If you are saved this afternoon, you are one of God's saints. There are Old Testament saints today that we look back to. They were looking ahead. What were they looking ahead to? They were looking ahead to the one who would come and die and be buried and replace all of those sacrifices that are going to be taught in semester number 2 at FBI. He would replace all of those. He would die once for all. But those saints, those Old Testament believers that died are just as much a saint as you and I are today. We see that in Isaiah 44 and 23. Old Testament saints. Number 2, where we are today, we are called church saints or the church age. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We're looking at the revelation. This revelation is showing submission and the subjects of submission. That's us today that are saved. We are part of this and praise the Lord for it. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter number, or 2 Thessalonians. That's a good, second verse is good too. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1, verse 10. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believe. I won't take time to do it today, but I wonder how many of us here today have put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We know beyond a shadow of a doubt that when we die, we're going to heaven because we have believed, we have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Notice what is in parentheses here. In all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed. We could talk a lot about that, but I'm going to keep moving. To all them that believe in that day. And then we also see tribulation saints. I'll give you the references. Revelation 7, 9 through 10 and verse 14. The subjects of submission. The subjects of submission. Let's see another one. 1 John 3, quickly. 1 John 3. We're thinking about verse 10 right now of our text. 1 John 3. Verse 8. First John 3, verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, made known, that he might, would you say that next word with me? Destroy I know sometimes little boys like to destroy things. Build something and then tear it down. Or if your little brother builds something, or your big brother builds something, and you have a little brother, and you build something with whatever blocks or so forth, I don't know why, it's the calling of every younger sibling. It's the calling of every younger sibling to destroy, to knock it down. Oh, but here, what great news we find in the epistle of John, where it says that the Son of God might destroy the works of the devil. I submit to you today that Satan is one of these ones that will be subject to submission. All of the fallen angels, demons and devils and evil spirits, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 24, they will be subjects of this submission. And then we see one more point in verse 11. We see an acknowledgement. An acknowledgement. First off, we see a physical acknowledgement. Look at verse 11. And every tongue. That's a physical acknowledgement. Every tongue is going to confess. I wrote this down. Anyone with a voice will praise him. Anyone with a voice will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. Oh, why don't we today, on this 26th day of May in the 2019, and if God gives us tomorrow and God gives us this week, why don't we use our voice to praise Him now? Why don't we get ready for heaven now? Why don't we make some preparation now that as we go about into this wicked and wild world that we live in, why don't we go with the Word of God on our lips? Why don't we go with the Word of God in our heart? And as we go to our schools and we go to our places of employment and we go where people are, let us go with a voice that says, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's acknowledge that now. Let the world know now. If they're around you, they know someone who is in you. They know that the Spirit, they know there's something different about you. They know that you are, and they may not use a Bible word, a peculiar person, but they see the joy of the Lord on your countenance. They see that God has done something in your life, and they may not even know that it's God. They may not even acknowledge, as this one lady, that there even is a God. Oh, but there's coming a day when every tongue shall confess. Why not now we make that acknowledgement? Philippians chapter 2, verse 11, you see it there. Revelation chapter 5 and verse number 13 says, and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying. That kind of covers everything, doesn't it? Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. A physical acknowledgement. Jesus. It's a little name. It's a small word. Some say this little name in public, however, in a way. Some say this little name in public, however, in a way other than an obscenity. And stand back and watch the fireworks. This little name is like a tiny detonator that triggers a nuclear warhead. You can say God and you won't get a squeak. You can say our Father in heaven, few will flinch. You can say Great Spirit and people will nod in approval. You can say Allah and you will be deemed tolerant. But say Jesus and just wait for the sonic boom. Articles will appear in the paper. Reprimands will be posted in the home office. Suits will be threatened by the civil liberties block. There is only one problem with these reactions. Jesus is God. A physical acknowledgement, verse number 11. Every tongue. I wonder today, has your tongue confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord? Not only that, we see a spiritual acknowledgement. We see a spiritual acknowledgement. I ask this question parenthetically, what is being acknowledged? What is being acknowledged? I'll tell you what is being acknowledged. That Jesus is Lord. It will either happen willingly, or when it is too late, all will acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. In that great Sermon on the Mount, we read in chapter 7 of Matthew, verses 21 and 22, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works?" And it goes on to say that he will say to them, "Depart from me, I never knew you." In closing, a couple of quick thoughts. This quote by an unknown author, if Jesus Christ is not valued, he is not valued at all until he's valued above all. He's not valued at all until he's valued above all, highly exalted. Many of us have heard of Adoniram Judson. Adoniram Judson spent nearly 40 years of his life on the mission field of Burma. Story is told that on his first visit back to the United States of America, rather than talking about his imprisonment for the sake of the gospel, which happened, rather than talking about the deaths of his wife and four children, which happened, he preached a sermon called Jesus, Sacrifice for Man. After the service was over, someone came to Mr. Judson, Brother Judson, and said, quote, "I was disappointed in your sermon. It was just ordinary. I expected more of a different message from across the world." The great missionary said, quote, "I have nothing more thrilling to tell than the story of Jesus, our sacrificial lamb." Highly exalted. Is he highly exalted in your life? Does our conduct highly exalt him? Are you sure? Do you even know you're going to heaven when you die?